a lot of unexpectedness and unfamiliar territory for a lot of people. But Dion's just being Dion. He is true to himself as we knew him as a player. My take is this. I think there is a lot of great things about what's happening with Dion right now. And I think there are some things that I think could be a bit of a miss. Hi, team, and welcome to the CEO Podcast. This is a place where we will have conversations on culture and team chemistry. We will deconstruct why there actually is an I in team from the strategies and attributes of the highest impact people and teams out there, so that in turn, you can apply as tools in your life, business, and sports. My name and your host is Kevin Rutherford. I'm a CEO and leader by trade and training. I've directed teams to successful acquisition and exit, while also creating recognized cultures where people want to work and play. So, let's jump right into today's episode. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the podcast, and it's great to be here and connect with all of you. Let's jump in.
We've been getting a lot of feedback from people on Instagram and X, formerly known as Twitter. We've got a lot of great audience questions. But producer Brian here, I've got some questions that I wanted to ask you about Kevin first, which have sort of been top of mind for me. Have you been following Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffalo college football team? Have you been following any of the fanfare, anything that's happening?
I have not been under a rock. So, yeah. Yes.
So, you know, this podcast, we talk a lot about culture and leadership, and Coach Prime is out there, you know, talking a lot about leadership, and we're getting a lot of access to his team meetings and his pep talks, his pre and post game wrap-ups.
He said, God gave me a word long before this, but he's been holding it. Because it's not about them. This is about us. This has nothing to do with the team that's opposing us. This is about us. This ain't got nothing to do with the naysayers, the unbelievers, the haters, the doubters. This is about us. When we started this journey, we told you it was going to be trying. It was going to be tough. But you endured because it's about us. That man next to you is a miracle. That man next to you is a believer. That man next to you is a go-getter. That man next to you is a dog. That man next to you is somebody who wants this thing. That man next to you is somebody who believes. That man next to you is somebody that got to have it today. Sorry. We ain't got tomorrow. We got now. We ain't got next. We got now. We ain't coming no more. Give me my theme music.
What's your take on Deion Sanders as a leader? What's happening there?
A lot of unexpectedness and unfamiliar territory for a lot of people. But Deion's just being Deion. He is true to himself as we knew him as a player. My take is this. I think there is a lot of great things about what's happening with Deion right now. And I think there are some things that I think could be a bit of a miss. So let me start with what I think's working. That personally, my view on this one. Deion's confidence that comes through exudes it back to his players. And, you know, you need to act to build confidence, right? And I think he's doing exactly that with his team. They're clearly outperforming what they were expected to do, even though their record isn't as perfect as it once was. They're still overachieving in many ways. And so that's a real testament to the vibe, the tone that he is setting. Love that. I also love his individual personality and not necessarily conforming to all the unwritten rules of society of how you should and shouldn't act and what that means. And really trying to bring out the individualism of players. So he's doing it himself. So I'm assuming he's game for his players doing the same. I'm assuming. And I believe he is, actually. I think his son, the quarterback, I think he was doing a little bit something with a watch that I thought I ever saw.
Oh, yeah. That's sort of his signature, like, flex, is he wore a very expensive watch. I can't, you know, whether it was a I can't remember what brand it was, whether it was a Rolex or if it was something else that was amazing. But, like, he held it up to the fans as if to say, this is my bling, you know, like, it doesn't really matter what the score is, even though, you know, he was doing it when he was winning. But he holds up his arm like this, showing them the watch because it's like he delivers the goods or, you know, whatever that message is,
I was, like, practice, just trusting the play call, understand, know what time it is. They left too much time on the clock, and we knew that. Nobody on the sideline panicked, flinched. Nobody didn't believe. The coaches just knew, like, what was going to happen. And I definitely knew what was going to happen because you're going to do what it takes to win. But they simply left too much time on the clock. And you know what mode we went? We went Brady mode / legendary mode.
Well, you know, I think on that, like, you made me think of trash talk. And I think trash talk can actually be a good thing. It can rally your team. It can get you going. You also, if you're going to give it, you need to be able to take it. Mm-hmm. I think that's another thing Deion's done really well. So he got some trash talk from coaches, opposing coaches coming in, and he reframed it as like, that's cool. And he just went with the flow. He didn't take it personally. I thought that was a great example for his team. Okay. My caution flags on this one is when you're the leader of the team setting the tone, I think ultimately what you need to make sure is the team knows it is about them. And Deion by personality takes a lot of spotlight to himself, just being who he is. I just hope that he's shining enough of that spotlight back on his teammates because the tone that he sets, they will do. And I think it's really important to be pointing your finger at your teammates more than you're pointing at yourself.
It's simple. I want you to see that. That ain't got nothing to do with me. That has everything to do with you. You got to believe. This is about you. You got to believe. Let's just forget sports for one moment. Do you believe in you, period? Take away your jersey. Take away your number. Take away that thing that's on the back of your shirt, your family name. Do you believe in you? That if you didn't have sports, you would be successful. That's the way you got to believe. That I don't give a damn if I had sports or not. I was still going to be something and somebody, and I was still going to affect and impact our society.
By de facto, he's going to get the credit by being the head coach. He's going to get the credit. So he really needs to shine the spotlight back on the team. Personally, that would be my adjustment. I recognize I'm probably being a hypocrite with that statement because Deion's being Deion and he's always been the spotlight. But I really think as leaders, when I think of how would I want to manifest this. And if I was to use as an example, that's what I would do differently. I just think you have to point at your teammates first before you point at yourself.
Yeah. And I think to your point, one of the things he's doing with his son Shadur, you know, he's saying, you know, you be you. And I hear him talking these pre and post game interviews, you know, like, what do you think about Shadur's performance? And what do you think about this or that? And almost always, you know, the throughput, the thread that is woven into every speech or comment is Shadur is just doing what he's always done. Mm-hmm. Like he's just that guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's a college athlete. He's still learning, but he's always been rock steady.
Yeah.
And that's why he's our quarterback kind of thing. And, you know, on the flip side, I saw something that was really cool. So they have this kicker. Who he brought over from Mississippi. His name is Mata. And, you know, he's the guy that maybe doesn't have the most power, but he's got probably the most accuracy. Mm. And I think it was he kicked the game winner after, let's see, what was their last win? I think it was the Nebraska game.
Okay.
And he kicked the winning field. I think it was in double overtime or something. And as he was coming off, you could see him whispering something to Mata. And then Mata starts dancing. And so we learned through the post-game interview through Dion that he encouraged Mata to get out there and celebrate, like to do his version of the celebration. So he's not holding up a fancy watch like Shador, but he is doing like his little victory dance. And so, again, I think it's a culture thing where Dion is giving permission to his team to celebrate and, you know, expanding his vision of what the culture should look like on the team.
Yep. Hey, if that's working and if that's giving energy and giving confidence to whether it's the kicker or the rest of the team, and they're still knowing they need to serve each other and work together, game on. I love it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that example about the kicker. That's great. I love that.
The other thing that's interesting is I can't think of any other example where a coach, a team has opened up the kimono, like that team has. I mean, again, maybe it's, you know, to Dion's credit, because his other son, I think, is the cameraman. Like they're literally creating a documentary about this, process. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me a little bit of what, Ryan Reynolds did with the Wrexham. Do you know the whole Wrexham United team? Brilliant, right? Like created this documentary of this, you know, sort of team that was underperforming and in a sad state of affairs. And then you show their progress and eventually the team ends up winning and they were relegated and then they get brought up.
Totally.
So maybe Dion's taking a page out of that playbook.
Yeah. I didn't think of that. Obviously a different position than Ryan Reynolds, who in this case is owner versus coach, but still a position of power, if you will, either both of them. So yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a good example. By the way, Ryan Reynolds, massive fan, fellow Canadian, actually lived in my hometown of Ottawa and was rumored to be buying the Ottawa Senators part of that, but that didn't happen. And but that's okay. The new owner is great too. Anyway, so Ryan Reynolds, he's a good one. Yeah, I think you're right. Taking that playbook's really interesting. You know, there's a lot of things happening in the workplace right now when you think about transparency. The example you use in sports of Wrexham, Dion. There's also salary transparency happening more and more. I think the state of California might be actually saying certain positions, at least you have to publish it, which is really an interesting scenario. Because if you think about sports, all athlete salaries are published. Mm. And so is the salary cap.
A new law in California could help make sure you are getting equal pay for the work you are doing. Let me explain. A salary transparency signed into law by Governor Gavin Newsom goes into effect on January 1st, 2023. It requires nearly 200,000 companies with 15 or more employees to start disclosing pay ranges on ads for jobs that will be done in California. Supporters of the legislation say it's a big step in the fight to close racial and gender wage gaps.
So I wonder if that's the next step in business too. It's like, okay, here's salaries. Here's our salary cap. I don't know. I wonder where it's going to go.
What are the opportunities and or pitfalls of, let's say, you know, you're running a company and you open the kimono like the Colorado Buffaloes have done, like Dion's done with his team, showing the good, bad, and the ugly. Because, you know, to his credit, he's also criticizing his team. You know, he'll be the first to say, our offense was hot garbage tonight. Those are the words he uses. Mm-hmm. You know, we weren't great. He's not overinflating it. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the hype man, but he's also the guy who says it like it is. Like, my son missed the tackles. You know, my team played like hot garbage. But he's giving access where I think it's unprecedented. So is there an opportunity for a company to do that?
I think some companies do it out there. An example of transparency that's out there, I was listening to Tim Ferriss interview the CEO and founder of Levels, which is a glucose monitoring. And the interesting thing about this podcast interview is it really wasn't about the glucose monitoring. It was about their culture. In many ways, and some hacks on how to improve. And their transparency is fascinating. All meetings, I mean all meetings, are recorded and published.
Wow. Okay.
You can choose to not publish it outwardly, outside the company or in the company, but it defaults to publish.
All right. So company level levels.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that might surprise people out there who have image A of what a startup or a company looks like?
It'd probably be a lot of things.
Yeah.
We're trying some pretty radical experiments in organizational design. For example, we're building in public. All of our investor updates from the beginning of the company, from day one, are public on our website. Mm-hmm. All of our team all hands weekly are public on our website. We're super transparent. There's a phrase that we took, I think this might be from Netflix, which is treat people like adults.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say a lot of our values as a company are really downstream of treat people like adults.
Mm-hmm.
When thinking about company culture, what that means, I really think that it means it is the set of assumptions you can make about the other people around you that you work with without having ever interacted with them before.
Mm-hmm.
If you can make the assumption that they are not going to gossip, that they are going to close the loop on your communication so you don't have to set reminders for yourself. The closing loop would be something like when you deliver something, you then send them a message saying, I completed this task. The more of these open loops you have where you have, you feel like, hey, did you ever finish that thing? It's exhausting.
So there is some transparency happening out there at a whole different extreme that I had no idea.
Radical transparency.
Radical transparency. Bingo. I don't know if it's working. I'm not saying it's working, but it's being done. So it'll be interesting to see if it does work.
So what are the opportunities?
Well, the key on this transparency is there's no hidden agendas. It's basically out there, right? There's just nothing to hide. Like the people tend to focus or think that there's something going on that they don't hear. So it's like here, full disclosure. And so I think what that does is it can build trust. It can also speed trust. Then will be faster communication, faster decisions. Everyone's in the loop if you choose to be, because now you have access to it. The downside that I see, I don't think it's happening there because you can choose to pull it back. But when you start getting into some negative aspects of a team or individual, I think when you start going public on that one, it can be a downward spiral. And all of a sudden, it just becomes people like throwing crap at the wall at you. And I just think it can be really dangerous. I guess if you can give feedback respectfully, I just personally tend to think you should keep that within the team or within an individual one-on-one. I just think it's a dangerous spot to go.
Yeah. The other example that comes to mind is maybe Gary Vaynerchuk. You know, he's been living out loud since 2010, I guess, when he started vlogging his life, and right around the time he started VaynerMedia. And you're right. This is kind of, well, it's more of a strategic transparency, I think, in Gary's case. He's going to show you what he wants to show you. I don't think that there's a lot that's left to imagine. I mean, he puts it all out there. He is who he says he is.
Yep, I agree with that.
You know, there's some things that are confidential just because they're maybe strategic or what a client told them. But he's been living out loud for the past decade.
I think what Gary does well, correct me if I'm wrong on this, because I think you know him better than I do. I actually don't know him, but I've followed him and watched him. His transparency on him and his role and therefore his company, yes, he's very transparent and I love that. I think there's not a lot to be lost. Obviously, you're going to choose when you don't want to say something, but I think actually it's smart. I think it's a good thing.
Document versus create. People aren't starting. They're just not making. They're thinking, they're pondering, they're strategizing, they're debating. A lot of people look at finished products. They look at LeBron today. They look at Kobe today. They look at Beyonce today. You know, the difference between understanding who you are versus who you wish you were. I mean, if you want to be respected and really known, show the fuck up.
Enough listening, start doing shit. Don't be scared. And if you're scared, find somebody who's not scared. Make them your partner. Like, it's action, it's going, it's doing. And if you're passionate about something in your world, you can make a big difference. You've got to pump out content.
What he doesn't do is, I don't believe he does this, is he isn't going talking about the team, the issues of the team or the people. That needs to come back and behind closed doors and have that conversation. And I think that's what he's living in. I agree with that, assuming I got that right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's very interesting. I think, you know, as I observe him from afar, most of the time if I'm watching him on video, he's constantly self-evaluating. So he talks and preaches about self-awareness, mm-hmm. Know thyself, you know, mm-hmm. And yet seems to constantly be taking inventory mm-hmm. of like how he's feeling or how he's acting. He will, you know, make changes and iterate on a dime, which mm-hmm. I think is amazing. And he also employs a chief heart officer. I think it's Claude Silver. Yes, he's making a lot of like hire and fire decisions, but it seems like Claude is his filter. She's the general that's, you know, the fighting general on the ground, really with the troops, but probably helping with Gary's culture, which has started the top and then trickles down into the masses. But yeah, you know, a very predictable culture too. So when you go work at Vayner, you sort of know what you're getting.
Right.
It's the Gary Vaynerchuk show.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
not the Brian or Kevin show. It's going to be Gary's show. You're in Gary's world. You're living in it.
Well, and it's really important that he has a strong chief heart officer, as you mentioned, her title was. Because at the end of the day, as much as Gary's transparent, if I were to hazard a guess, you're still going to have people being hesitant to say something. Why? Because he's Gary. He's the CEO. He's the founder. I had to come to that realization in my career as a CEO is when challenging things are happening, I may be one of the last people to find out. Mm. And that's because that's why you have to stay really close to the front lines, not just your direct reports, but another layer below. You have to stay close to that because they're not going to come to you. So you have to kind of feel it, learn and ask questions to find out what's going on if there is truly an issue. And to be clear, I think that the way I at least try to build and, you know, lead the culture was for us to be open and honest, and it psychological safety was key. You could say something and it's okay. Like, I'm not going to be mad at you. Even if it's personal to me, I'm not going to be mad at you. That said, it just goes with the title. And so you have to have strong people around you that can also then say, hey, Kevin, have you heard? Here's what's going on.
What shouldn't you be transparent about? What are some things that are not worth exposing to everyone?
Well, I would say the word vulnerability comes up a lot, and being more vulnerable in the workplace, whether it's me or others. And I think that's good. That's a good thing. However, I think sharing all of your true vulnerability or full vulnerability sometimes isn't going to be the best for your teammates. So you do have to put on a bit of a brave face here and there where you're feeling vulnerable, whether that's anger, could be sad, hurt. We all have the different emotions. And I just think that's one of the things I think that might be played up a lot around, again, vulnerability. And I think don't necessarily share it all out on display. Again, is it going to help or hurt the team? And sometimes you have to really show a lot of inner strength and hold back there.
Yeah, another case study came to mind. You remember the story of Away Luggage?
Oh, yeah.
Sort of that darling of the travel space.
100%.
Started by Jen Rubio and Steph Corey. They had a bit of a falling out, a public falling out. I think Steph was accused of sort of this toxic culture, bad behavior. Maybe she was micromanaging. And it sort of became corrosive inside the company. And then, you know, she ends up stepping down in a moment when they're having this tremendous success, right? Mm-hmm. And like, so it was this amazing story of mm-hmm. like growing this amazing new brand, and they were at the top of the game. And then all of a sudden, it's not so rosy at the top with Jen and Steph. And it's like all of a sudden that the whole thing kind of just, that bubble popped and it went away. Tragic. I mean, kind of a shame.
Total shame. Well, if anyone here is not familiar with Away Luggage, go check it out. I think a lot about, you know, the team is the brand is the team. I don't know the team at Away Luggage, but I can tell you from personal experience, the product that they produce, the design around Away Luggage is phenomenal. So you're right, the success. And so when you think of like boring, stale categories, they reinvented a category and made it really interesting. I did hear about the falling out. You know, here's a question that, you know, many have to think about is what happens when you have two CEOs or co-CEOs? Mm-hmm. Who makes the call? What does that look like?
I'm going to bring this back to The Office. Perhaps everything can be solved with The Office. We're talking about the famous TV show with Steve Carell and John Krasinski and cast. Do you remember that episode when Michael Scott and John Krasinski's character are made co-managers?
Yes.
And they're polling The Office. I think yes. They asked Oscar, you know, what do you think of this new situation? And Oscar, you know, very sarcastically says,
look, it doesn't take a genius to know that any organization thrives when it has two leaders. Go ahead, name a country that doesn't have two presidents, a boat that sets sail without two captains. Where would Catholicism be without the popes?
That co-founder dynamic, it can be really great. You know, Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, or, you know, there's a lot of dynamic duos out there who are doing well. But then sometimes it make for a lot of trouble.
I think if you have role clarity, like who's truly accountable for what, who makes the call in different types of situations. So like decision-making rights is a more formal way of putting it. I think it can work. An example that I have, so some two gentlemen that I got to know quite well, did a little bit of work with them quite a while back. They're the co-founders of a company called Vega, V-E-G-A. So it's a plant-based protein. And so they're co-founders. The CEO was Charles, and the other co-founder was Brendan. And they were very clear on their roles. Charles was the CEO and the business mind and the strategist around that. And Brendan was really the face. No one even knew Charles outwardly, but Brendan was the face because he lived the brand and he developed the products. And it was from his brain and what he was doing for endurance sports. But here's the thing. It could have gone really ugly, but it didn't. Like, that was a really good example. So you can, if you have very clear roles, it's like, I get it. You override me on this. I get it. You override me on this. I remember having a discussion with them, and then we were talking on innovation, and I made a pause. Brendan was in the room, so the developer of the products, and we were talking about innovation. And I go, guys, I think we might be getting off track. Let me ask a question. What would Brendan do? And then I remember we paused and we're like, hold on. Yeah, maybe he wouldn't make it quite like this. I think what those two did was really interesting of a co-founder, how it can work. Be clear on roles and responsibilities and recognize if somebody has to make the call, they make the call. And you just respect that. That's final decision. Let's go.
Yeah. Off camera here, we were analyzing the new Magic Spoon treat and talking about co-founders. You have Greg and Gabby at Magic Spoon,
okay,
who have very similar complementary roles. Mm-hmm. You know, one does the business side of things. The other one's maybe a little bit more creative, but they're, you know, where one is weak, the other one is strong, and they complement each other. So maybe that's a whole other episode where we can take a look at co-founders, who's doing it really well, and maybe break down some of these successful co-founders. That's another good future episode for us to dive in on.
Yeah.
And I would love help from the audience too. Like, you know, please message Kevin in the DMs of Instagram or on Twitter X who, you know, you think the co-founders are doing it well, and we'll take a look at them as case studies. How about that?
I love it. I think it's a great idea. And co-founders, it's a pretty common way to start a business because, you know, going all by yourself is a bit scary. And quite frankly, you can't know everything. So there's a real benefit to it for sure. Okay, team, let's bring it in. Hopefully you take away something today that you're able to reapply to your world. The purpose and intention of this pod is simply to give you the tools to excel both individually and as a team. Let's be crystal clear. Life is a team sport. This applies to the game of life, business, and in sports. I've said this before, there really is an I in team. I was born and raised in Canada, and the French translation for team there is équipe. So yes, literally, there is an I in équipe, and therefore, the meaning of team. It starts with the individual. That's you and me. We flourish with how we manifest our need to be interconnected. All this leading to imagining a future state of the world we want to create. And we will. So that's all for today. Let's go get it. I would love to hear from each and every one of you or any one of you. So you can find me at, let me know what you're thinking, on Instagram or Twitter or otherwise known as X today, at the handle clean_lantern. That's clean_lantern. Fire away. And one last request, if I may, and if you feel so compelled, please feel free to leave a review on wherever you listen to your podcasts, and feel free to share as well. Thank you.